when challenging situation arises, it forces you to grow. And if you ask me if I would have any other way, I think not, because it made the world stop. It made me stop, and made me realize that we aren't in control. So we just have to go with the flow.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Where does our food come from? It's a question that's being raised more and more as we explore not only what's good for our own health, but what is good for the planet as well. After a year where a greater connection has been vital for so many, it is the connection with everything that fuels our body that is really now coming to the fore. Zachary Tan is the chef and co-owner of Devon Cafe, Dopa Dom Brewery and Milk Bar, and the soon-to-be-opened Commune. Zachary, how are you going?
Good, thanks, Hack. It's a privilege to be here and to be able to share my story.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. You came from the world of fine dining and opened a cafe that changed everyone's perceptions of cafes in Sydney many years ago with Devon. What was it like in that period when there was so much attention on that cafe?
It was a period of growth, big growth. It was the first venue for me that I opened from the ground up, and there was heaps of. It was a good learning curve. There was so many things that, in hindsight now, I was doing totally wrong. I guess that's part of life, you know. We learn and we grow.
Well, that hindsight of looking back and thinking you were doing things wrong is interesting to hear, because the consumers thought you were doing everything right. What do you think the success of it so quickly was about?
I think we burst into the scene and with Instagram coming up at that time as well, and everyone wanted to take, you know, pretty pictures, and our food was quite photogenic at the time. And I think that was what consumers wanted, and there was definitely a niche in the Sydney market.
Well, I want to explore what you've done with Devon Cafe and also the other venues and the soon-to-be-open Commune as well. But your background is, you know, some of the best restaurants in Australia. Take us back to the early days. When did food become an interest to you?
I come from a small little island in Penang called, in Malaysia called Penang. It's one of the greatest places for street food, in my opinion. And I grew up in that kind of environment where I wasn't so much cooking; I was doing a lot of eating. the conversation that leads in Penang, it's have you eaten? And the next one is, where should we go next, you know, where should we hunt down the next hawker food? And so I came up like that. And I actually was born into a family of pharmacists. And my parents wanted me to take up the family business. So I went into uni for 2 years, and, you know, I absolutely hated it. And did 2 years of pharmacy, and then finally just said, you know, it's not working out, and I'm just gonna go dive head first into hospitality. It's a big transition, but
tell us about some of the hawker food that you loved growing up.
So I think not sure if I think a lot of the char kway teow, the fried noodles, Malaysian fried noodles. You know, satay, there's a great variety of hawker food, so much variety actually in Malaysia, Penang.
You've worked at some pretty extraordinary venues in Australia. Tell us about that period of time and the main influences on you as a chef.
Yeah, so when I left Penang for Sydney, I kind of felt like I wanted to learn something different and go away from hawker food and learn about the great art of fine dining. So yeah, I applied for a couple of jobs, and I was lucky enough to get a job at Pier, and yeah, working with Grant and Katrina. They are really great chefs, where, you know, we managed to spend a lot of time actually in a day. They were there like, you know, 15 hours in a day at least. And just, you know, having the privilege to polish their copper pots was a good experience.
Well, Pierre had an extraordinary impact on Australia's dining landscape. Take us back to that time in the kitchen. Is there any sort of dishes or things that you remember?
Yeah, there was this dish in Pierre that was the marin dish, actually. It was poached marin with fig carpaccio and marin fig carpaccio and a foie gras parfait. That was one of those dishes that I had to plate up. So yeah, can still remember it till today.
You ended up working for Guillaume Brahimi both in Sydney and in Melbourne, in very different restaurants. What was it like working in that brigade under him?
It was a good experience working for Guillaume. It was a big brigade. Everyone was a little bit like a family, because, you know, of all the hours stuck in the kitchen together. But it's a little bit like going to an army, like joining the French brigade. It was no nonsense. There was no music in the kitchen. It was some pretty good views. Might have to say that, but it was like joining the army. It was pretty strict, pretty tough kitchen.
You made a slight detour to a restaurant that was really hot for a period of time in Sydney, Jimmy Licks, very, very popular. Tell us about your time there. How different was that to the rigid fine dining world of Pierre and Guillaume?
So Jimmy Licks was a good place because I realized the pool of street food to the diners of Sydney. I'm like, wow, they're serving this kind of food at this kind of prices, and people are like, here, take my money. And it was crazy. It was pumping every day. It was, you know, 200, 300 covers a night. And everyone was there. It was a place to be seen. It was a good vibe. It was still a fun place to work in the end of the day. Everyone pushed hard, but yeah.
Tell us about that period of time in the lead up to opening Devon Cafe. What were your ideas behind it, and what were the challenges involved in creating your first venue?
I think it was an opportunity to look at brunch food differently, to look at cafe food a little bit differently. And coming from Bistro Guillaume in Melbourne, where we were doing pretty tough hours there still. I was a little bit burned out and a bit tired of doing, you know, French bistro food and working till, you know, 1 a.m. in the night, coming home and, you know, not having much left for my family. It was just an opportunity to take on a different challenge. So I came back to Sydney. And in 2013, we opened up Devon with Derek and Noni, my current partners.
Tell us about the offering at Devon Cafe, and are there dishes that are difficult to take off the menu?
So there's one dish that's, there's a few dishes, but I'm going to tell you about this dish that we've had since the beginning, which is the Breakfast of the Sakumas, which is a miso grilled king salmon with onsen egg and a smoked eel croquette and some petit herbs on top. It's just a rendition of a breakfast dish that I had in in Fukushima in Japan, and with the family that I was staying with at the time. And I think it's easy to like, and easy to get, and really bold flavors. And yeah, it's just, you know, salmon and eggs, really.
You, in a couple of years later, in 2018, you opened a quick service restaurant, Dopodom Brewery and Milk Bar. Well, tell us a bit about the creation of that and what you're doing there.
So with Dopodom Brewery and Milk Bar, it was a project that actually started off with a research trip to Tokyo. We went in for about 6 days, eating research trip, and we came out on the other end of the tunnel with some great ideas. And we were like, oh, we have this great site at Darling Square in Haymarket. What are we going to do with it? And so I think Sydney has a healthy obsession with Japanese cuisine. And so we wanted to do a really approachable venue where everyone and family can come in and have a good feed. And so then Dopodom Brewery and Milk Bar was born.
You're busy planning another restaurant opening in the coming months called Commune, a bit of a detour from what you're doing in some ways already. Tell us about the idea of Commune.
So Commune is basically a venue that we want to involve the community of Erskineville in. We want to invite them to join us in a concept where we ask each other and we kind of grow the idea of having a higher consciousness in our lives and in our food. By asking, you know, where does our food come from? So this Commune is a brunch spot that's mainly plant-based. And it's going to be opening up in the end of August. What else can I say about Commune?
Where did the idea come from to do a plant-based restaurant?
Ah, good question, Huck. Actually, I'm actually pescatarian, but I'm very selective with how I eat my fish, and mostly plant-based. So I think that's kind of influenced the way I eat and the way I look at food as well. And so, you know, I would probably on a day-to-day basis just cook plant-based meals at home, and, you know, on maybe once a week, I'll indulge in some seafood, but still very selective with the seafood choices. Yeah.
Tell us about creating a plant-based menu and the sort of connections that you're making with producers and how important they are for what you're doing.
So the creation of plant-based menus is The menu at Commune will be really targeting the wellness of our bodies, and really, like, you know, not using refined sugar, avoiding, you know, any animal products. And obviously in regards to the plants that we use, we're not going to go fully organic, but in those products where it's known to have a high level of pesticides, we will go organic. So we are looking out, number one, for our community, and number two, also for, the planet. We want to be able to, sleep at night and go to sleep at night knowing that, we've done our best, that's the whole idea about Commune. And I think that was born from my want to actually give back a little bit more in terms of give back a little bit more, yeah.
Is there any producers or farmers that you're connecting with, whether biodynamic or regenerative farmers, and some of their products that you can tell us about that you're using?
So right now we are still in the experimental stage, Huck. I'm still looking to connect with a lot of these farmers, and I'm really, to be honest, if there's any farmers listening to this podcast in New South Wales and around, please connect with me. I want to hear your story. I want to see your product, and like recently I went to see my mate at Berkelow, Tom Eady, and he's using this ancient grain called Emma wheat. Have you heard about it?
No, tell us about it.
Yeah, so this ancient grain, this wheat that's very old, it was found in the belly of a mummified, I wouldn't even say I'm not sure if it's a Homo sapien or not, but it was, I think, maybe 5,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. So this is like one of the original strains of wheat. And there's actually farmers cultivating this kind of wheat in Australia, in New South Wales. And I'm experimenting with this wheat in an upcoming event at Devon North Sydney, where we're doing a collab with Big Sam Young, a truffle dinner. And I'm making a lavash with it and then spiking with some set powder. I'm excited to work with products like that. And these farmers are actually sustainable. Actually, they started their own label for sustainable growing. So, but it's really, really encouraging to hear stories like that and to be able to meet people that are interested in not just, what's coming into their pockets, but, doing the right thing. Because in the end of the day, we want to be here in, another 1,000, 2,000 years and hopefully more,
One of the things you're also exploring in the lead up to the opening of Commune is the use of reusable containers, reducing personal waste and composting. What's some of the things that you've been discovering that you're implementing for that?
So we want to go back to reducing our own personal waste. So we intend on setting up a composting system for Commune so that all our organic waste will go back into the earth. With the packaging, I think we're really doing the packaging in all of our all our venues anyway. But I think it's important not all packaging are created equal. Some of them have these great marketing taglines, but I think doing the research and the due diligence and really making sure that it's legit, stuff like that. It takes a lot of effort and care. That's what I'm finding.
A few decades ago, the idea of an organic cafe or vegetarian cafe was not very appealing or appetizing. Tell us about how you create dishes and bring out flavors and celebrate these incredible products.
So I think, coming from a chef perspective, if you asked me if I would be doing a plant-based concept 5 years ago, I would be like, nah, you're kidding. Because it's generally bad food. It's not tasty. It's not well thought of. Sometimes it's just a jumble of ideas put on a menu. But we're not trying to do anything special in Commune. We're just really going to make it tasty and approachable. Tasty and approachable and, good for your body. Keep it simple.
Well, let's talk about your cooking. You've got such a fascinating background from street food to fine dining and to cafes, a real, real mix. But tell us about you know, where does a dish start for you? And do you have an example of a dish you can talk us through and the creation of it?
Where does it begin? It can usually begins with an inspiration or an idea or maybe even an ingredient, but it generally takes on some cultural reference. So I wouldn't really stray too far from the background of the backbone of the dish. For example, for this truffle season at Devon, I will be doing a dish which has cultural backbone of congee. So we're gonna do a mushroom congee with whipped potato and with you know, one of those ramen eggs. Yeah, those ramen eggs, and fresh truffle from Truffle Hill Farm in Manjimam.
Wow. Well, you come from a long line of pharmacists in the family, and you nearly became one yourself. You headed down the path of being a chef. What is it that you love about what you do?
I think right now I'm really enjoying. I'm really, really enjoying conceptualizing venues, and you know, I think that's where I'm really my happiest, like, you know, like creating Devon and, you know, working on Dopa and even with Commune, is that, yeah, it gives a chance, such an opportunity to actually work it from the ground up and work with the team and have these ideas and execute them. It's definitely hard work, but I think it's quite rewarding for me.
The last year and a half has been challenging for most people on the planet, and particularly those in food as well. What sort of impact has it had on you personally? Has it changed you?
It definitely has. It definitely has. I think when challenging situation arises, it forces you to grow. And if you ask me if I would have any other way, I think not, because it made the world stop. It made me stop and made me realize that we aren't in control. So we just have to go with the flow. And just, you know, going on with that, you know, there are times when I've opened venues and it's felt wrong. It's felt like, you know, you're going against the grain, and there's some venues when everything just flows in like it's meant to be. And so I think, yeah, I just got to go with the gut feeling and yeah, go with the flow.
What's been some of the positives that have come out of it? Has the idea of Commune come from this challenging time?
Much definitely. I think it gave me some big, like COVID has given me some perspective, and it's made me ask some really fundamental questions about, you know, my purpose, my life, and I feel like there is a greater need to contribute rather than to consume.
I know your goal with Commune is to bring the community together and share delicious food that's healthy for people without beating them over the head. What is your hope for people that come to this new restaurant when it opens in a few months?
Commune is just a place to grab a coffee and grab a really casual breakfast and feel whole and feel connected, that we aren't separated, that there is no separation, that we are one. I think when you a really good venue makes you feel like that, you know, that when you leave, it's not about the product that they're selling, it's the feeling that you remember, is that it's when you know that they've done their job, you know, that in hospitality, that you feel like you've been loved and you know you've been served.
What do your family think about the career that you've created here in Australia and like avoiding the family line of pharmacist?
They're very supportive. My parents, I couldn't have done it without them. Moving to Australia, and it's only with their support and their blessing. They only want the best for me, and yeah, very supportive.
Well, Zachary, you've already blown everyone away with the venues that you have in Sydney. So I'm sure that Commune will be very much welcomed by the community of Erskineville and Sydney once it opens. We've loved having you on Deep in the Weeds to hear your story. Please keep in touch and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks. Thank you.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we share the stories of Australia's hospital community, suppliers and producers in search of hope during this pandemic. Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen. Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds Podcast or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay safe and be well.